Hey y'all, this is Lashane O'Harney from Wind City Voices, and you're listening to the official Wind City Voices podcast, the show that brings your stories, our stories, and all of the voices of Winchester right to your ears.
This is episode 2, Holiday Stories. Today, you'll be hearing from two lovely Wind City Voices contributors, Ron Kebby and Aaron Smith. If you missed our Night of Storytelling event back in October, head over to our YouTube channel to listen to Ron and Aaron's stories from that night. They are wonderful storytellers, and I'm so excited to have their holiday stories here for you today. First up, we'll hear from Ron Kibbe. Ron grew up in Southeast Baltimore, spent 3.5 years living in the high desert in California, and came to Winchester when his VW Beetle broke down here on a cross-country drive to Vermont. He has lived here and worked as a social worker since 1973. Though he retired in 2013, he remains active as a community volunteer on various boards, coalitions, and committees. His passions include the woods and nature, music, books, and classic movies, especially Laurel and Hardy. And a special thanks to the Clark County Health Department for letting Ron and I use your space to record. Here's Ron's story, Christmas Memories.
Yes, I'm going to share with you today a couple of Christmas memories that that come to me every year about this time for obvious reasons. The first one coming from when I was a young child, 5, 6, 7 years old in Baltimore, growing up in Baltimore. And the second one from my adult experience after I came here to Winchester and was working as a social worker. But I'll start with the early one. I grew up in a neighborhood called Highland Town in Southeast Baltimore. And one of the interesting things about the way neighborhoods were laid out is that almost anything that you needed, be it from a drugstore, a supermarket, a department store, a little diner, the movie theater, everything was within walking distance of maybe 4 or 5 blocks. And I remember that at Christmas, and I grew up in a blue-collar neighborhood. My dad worked on the railroad, and he worked second shift. And as most families back in those days, we only had one car. So the car was gone in the evening. So it was good that we lived in a place where we could walk to get what we needed. And at Christmas time, I remember we'd get home from school, and we'd eat dinner and whatever. And then my mom would get us all bundled up, and I had a brother. He was 2 years younger than me. And we would walk up on what we called the Avenue to where all the stores were to do Christmas shopping. The Avenue was Eastern Avenue in Southeast Baltimore. And it was really interesting because within, as I mentioned, there were diners, movie theaters, all this stuff. But within 3 blocks, there were 3 big department stores. One was called Irvin's. One was called Goldberg's, and one was called Epstein's. And we would go up after dinner to walk up on the avenue and visit the stores and do some Christmas shopping. Now, the reason that this memory comes back to me is because the streets, all of the stores, all of the street lamps, the poles and such outside all had Christmas decorations. They had lights strung all up and down the street. And they had speakers out on the poles. And instead of like today, you go into a place and they'll be playing some music or whatever. But what they had was speakers up and down the street, up and down the avenue that were all playing the same music. So you, no matter where you were walking, you were hearing. It was a continual Christmas carols, Christmas songs and such. And the one that struck me, and every time I hear it today, it brings me back to walking up to the avenue with my mom and my little brother, is the song Silver Bells. And that one's really geared to the experiences of being in a city. And I just want to quote a couple of the verses here from the song Silver Bells. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile, and on every street corner, you'll hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them sing. Soon it will be Christmas Day. Strings of street lights, even stoplights, blink a bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch. This is Santa's big scene. And above all this bustle, you'll hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling, hear them sing. Soon it will be Christmas Day. And to this day, I can still envision myself and my brother. And I tell you, we were dressed. For those of you who've seen the movie A Christmas Story, that the little boy that wanted the BB gun, I never wanted a BB gun, so I had no chances of shooting my eye out. But if you remember how he was dressed with the hat, with the flaps over the ears, the gloves and all bundled up, that's how we looked. And, you know, me in one hand and my mom and my brother in the other, hustling down the street, listening to the music, looking at the lights. And another one of the things that comes back to me is the smiles on people's faces, the gleam in their eyes. As they walked up to you, they spoke. They said, hello, how are you? Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It was just, there was a different feel and atmosphere. And I just believe that the silver bells and the lights brought out that joy in people. And I never, ever, ever hear that song to this day without seeing my mom and myself and my brother walking down Eastern Avenue, popping into the white coffee pot to get a soda, or for her, a coffee, going to Irvin's, Epstein's, to the different stores and such, and seeing all the window displays with all the Christmas stuff. It was, I know Christmas in the country and Christmas in the city are very different, but Silver Bells, the wonderful memory. A second one that I have comes much later in life. I was an adult by this time. I had come here to Winchester. Many people have heard this story. I won't go into it, but where my car broke down and I ended up staying. But I got a job as a social worker. But one of the memories that always comes back to me again this time of year was this it was four siblings. They had been abandoned by their parents. I was a social worker working with them. And they had to go into a foster home. It was a 10-year-old girl. I'm going to try to guess at the ages, trying to remember. 10, 7, a 6-year-old boy, and a 5-year-old girl. So there was four of them, three girls and a boy. And they were in this foster home. And I just felt so much for these kids. I used to go out. I had my little VW Beetle still back then, and I'd go out and we all cram into the Beetle and I'd take them to get an ice cream cone or something. But I remember one Christmas, I went out to the foster home to visit them and I took them some Christmas presents. And I left the presents and I didn't see the kids. They were in another part of the house. And the foster mom said that she would make sure that they got them. I said, okay. So I went out to get in my car and suddenly the foster mom comes running out and says, wait a minute, Ron. The kids have something special for you too. Come on back in. And so I did. And they took me into, I guess it was like a family room, and sat me in a chair. And then they put this like a folding screen up, which would be like if you were at the Leeds, it'd be the curtain. And then I could hear them rumbling around behind it and doing something. Well, what these kids did, and this was their Christmas present to me, and I've never forgotten it, and it was so meaningful. They had four Christmas songs that they had worked up a little play for each of these scenarios of these songs. And So they would put the record on, and then the music would start, and then the foster mom would take the curtain away, and then they would play out these songs like a little play. And I guess the one that sticks in my mind the most, and I can't even remember all the lyrics of the song right now, but it's up on the rooftop, click, 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 you know, Santa's up there. They had laid down a blanket on the floor, pillows, they were all laying there, pretending to be asleep, you know, with their hands next to their head. And then they hear the noise of Santa on the roof, and they wake up, and they're up, and they're dancing. And they did this with four different songs, and I was just blown away. I mean, obviously, they had rehearsed this. This wasn't just something that they just decided to do on the spur of the moment. And that was their Christmas present to me. And I tell you, I don't know that anybody's ever given me anything that had as much meaning. Those four kids, it was just, like I said, it's lived with me forever. And I'll have to say that even as they got older, became adults, had their own families, they stayed in touch with me. And I just, you know, that's just so meaningful too. But anyway, those are a couple of the memories that every year at this time of year, I hearken back to those memories, you know, the memories of the little kids who they it had to be one of the, you know, some of the worst times in their life to have been abandoned and in foster care or whatever, but they were so giving and so loving and so caring. And then those memories of the street lights and the music on the streets and the just the happiness and the joy of the people around you. So those are a couple of my Christmas memories.
All right, y'all, that was Ron Kibbe. I hope y'all really enjoyed his story, Christmas Memories. I know I did. It really brought up a lot of Christmas memories of my own, and I hoped it did the same for you. Next up, we have Aaron Smith. Aaron Smith wants everyone to slow down, eat real food, move their bodies, go outside, and hit the pillow a little earlier for a more purposeful existence. She's a published writer, yoga teacher, and a mindfulness coach. When she's not standing on her head or typing on her trusty laptop, you'll find her reading, playing guitar, enjoying a glass of bourbon, or snuggling on the couch with her people and pets. Here's Aaron's story, Waiting for Christmas.
Christmas has lost its meaning for us because we have lost the spirit of expectancy. We cannot prepare for an observance. We must prepare for an experience. Handel H. Brown. When I was a little girl, my mom had a tiny 6-inch TV in the kitchen where she would watch Julia Child on PBS and Guiding Light on CBS. On Christmas Eve, though, she would set up that tiny television in my brother's room. Ian and I would build a blanket fort around it and prepare for what we now call the long wait. Remember how December used to drag on glacially when you were a child? How the last week of school before Christmas break crept by at a snail's pace? But nothing felt as eternal as Christmas Eve. Jacked up on hot chocolate and the possibility of Santa Claus, Ian and I would wake several times in the night, the clock mocking us. 12:52, 2:34, 4:07 a.m. Finally, we would turn on the tiny television for the long wait. You see, in the late 70s, you couldn't watch television all night because most channels signed off at midnight. NBC always played the Star Spangled Banner. The first program didn't start until 6 a.m. The rule in our house was that we couldn't wake our parents and open gifts until the early show came on. So Ian and I watched the test pattern for almost 2 hours. Please stand by. Waiting for that magical moment when we got to run screaming into the dining room to see if Santa had visited in the night. Waiting. Human beings are an ever impatient species, constantly searching for instant gratification. We don't like to wait, yet it is a given. We wait for the marriage, the birth, the water to boil, the next season of our favorite show. We wait for our kids to go off to college and then wait for them to return home for the holidays. We wait for the right job, then the promotion, then retirement. We wait in line and on the phone. We wait on the bus, on the red light, on the newest vaccine. Seems to me that since so much of our life is waiting, our happiness might depend on our ability to wait well, to see waiting as a gift of precious time. Because while I barely remember the gifts Santa brought most years, I cherish the time Ian and I spent in the long wait. That sort of waiting was filled with joy, wonder, and hope, a giddy anticipation that the future was going to be amazing. There was so much beautiful life in the long wait. And isn't that the whole point of the Advent season? I've always thought the Old Testament God was sort of a vindictive jerk. Old Testament gods seemed to make empty promises about salvation and brighter days, then bandied about pestilence and plague. But even Grinches have hearts, because after years and years of making the Israelites wait, God finally made good on his promise and sent the world a tiny baby in a manger that changed, well, everything. Has this year been a steady diet of empty promises? Do you feel lost or abandoned? Keep waiting. Through the uncertainty, the fear, the sadness, the anger, just as the Old Testament believers prepared their hearts for salvation, so can we create space in our hearts and minds for a better future.
All right, y'all, that's it for today's episode. I hope y'all enjoyed listening to a few holiday stories from our contributors, Ron and Aaron. If you liked what you heard, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And for even more content, head over to WinCityVoices.org. Till next time.